When I was at AST a few years ago, we'd rotate around who would do worship in the chapel that week. And I don't know about you, but the Lord's Prayer over time kind of became this rote thing that I just repeated without even really thinking about it. And I was offering the prayers of the people, and I was offering the Lord's Prayer afterwards, and I found that I was somewhere else completely when I was offering that prayer. And when I realized that I was somewhere else completely, I immediately tried to come back. Even though my mouth was saying the words, when I came back, I completely forgot where I was, and then completely forgot the words to the prayer. And we don't take the time to think about this most holy thing that we do, praying to God with the words that Christ taught us, to recognize the sacredness in that moment of union with our Creator. We can get lost and we can lose ourselves. So I want you to think about that. Next time that you go to pray the Lord's Prayer and you really stop to think about it, you often lose the words, unless you're really present with Christ in that moment. So let us enter into a time of prayer. Amazing God, in the midst of all of our words, our song, and our silence, hear our heartfelt prayers to you. We come in moments of joy and in sorrow, in the mundane and the amazing. And when words fail us, when our silence feels empty, when there is no song in our hearts, Christ gives us eternal words that reach beyond time, that reach out to you. In all things, we are thankful for our faithful companion in Jesus, in whose name we offer all our prayers. Amen. Bless you. Praying. We've been doing this for a long time. It's not something that's new to us, but rather it is a millennia-old practice. Before the words of the Lord's Prayer that are offered by Christ that I find myself forgetting sometimes, we prayed. We prayed for salvation. We prayed for healing. We prayed for forgiveness. Before King David wrote the Psalms, Psalms of lament, Psalms of joy, Psalms of celebration and loss, we prayed. We prayed for guidance. We prayed for protection. We prayed for love. Prayer is a practice that spans time, stretching back to those days when we first looked up at the sky and wondered why. Prayer is something that delves deep within our very souls as we wonder, why us? It's an ancient practice, and one that's not confined to the Abrahamic faiths of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, but rather spans the world and is central in faiths and practices where deeper understanding of the divine, of the world, and of the self are sought. Prayer lifts us higher in those times of joy, in the best of times. And in the worst of times, prayer inspires us to hope. Prayer has been a part of who we are as a species since before we called it prayer. And it persists today, even as we seek to relabel what we're doing as thinking positive or sending out good thoughts to our neighbors and putting positive energy vibes out to the universe in the hopes of getting positive energy vibes back. But a prayer, by any other name, still rings as sweet in the metaphysical ears of the divine. Now, a lot of time, prayer is about giving thanks. Thanks for the great things that life has been, continues to be, and what might yet be. But just as often, maybe just a little more often, if we're really being honest with ourselves, we turn to our eternal guide in despair. In times of brokenness, in times of darkness, and in times of pain, we seek a way to mend ourselves. We seek guidance to a path that leads us from darkness to light. And we pray for a time however brief, where we might find relief from what pains us. And in those times when we feel particularly hopeless, helpless, and lost, we pray that God, our compassionate Creator, might intervene. That God might get God's hands dirty and give us the strength that we need. Take us by the hand and put us on the path that is good and right. To reach right in and make all that is wrong in the world right. We all do this. Sometimes intentionally, and sometimes it's a knee-jerk reaction to something in our lives or in the world that just plain sucks. God, get me out of here. God, show me the way. God, do something because I'm lost. God, just let me win the lottery once. God, just end it because it's just too much. These are prayers that you and I, everyone really, have uttered at least once in our lives, if not once, since this sermon ended. God, please end it. It's just too much. But interventionist prayer, asking God to intervene, has been getting kind of a bad rep for some reason over the last number of decades. It's, if not the last century. Anyone here have an idea why interventionist prayer might not be as, I don't know, socially acceptable as maybe it was long never ago? It's probably a simple answer. You can probably guess it. Just guess. Why do you think, why shouldn't we, devil's advocate, why shouldn't we pray for God to intervene? Any ideas? It's simple, they would have us believe. God doesn't answer prayers. God, the universal energy, the unseeable, the unknowable, it's beyond us. Outside of us, incapable or unwilling to act. That's what people say anyway. But maybe they're on to something. I mean, how many times have you asked God for a new car? A new life? A meal for the first time in 3 days? Only to sit waiting, staring at the sky in vain. It's enough to make us stand and shout, shaking our fist at the heavens and say, how dare you? How dare you ignore me, a supposedly beloved child of you? How dare you deny the world the power that you can offer? How dare you, you, whatever you are? And we do that too. In those hardest times, we shake our fist at God and we ask why. Even those of us that are deeply entrenched in our faith, we wonder why bad things happen to good people. We wonder why a world that God loves can sometimes reflect a living hell. Why, God? Why? We forget so quickly that we are the hands and feet of God. The hands and feet of God in this world, and that prayer isn't a lamp with wishes, much as we wish it were.
Wish.
It's a starting point for inspired action. It's a holy space that opens us to see where the Spirit is already at work, that we might join in. God, more often than not, answers prayers in and through us and those around us. You and me, we're part of that great prayer puzzle. I was reminded by my friend and colleague Sarah this morning of something that Pope Francis said about prayer. Pray for the hungry, then feed them. That's how prayer works. And he's right. We pray for the homeless, then we shelter them. We pray for those who trip and fall, then we offer our hand. We pray for the world, then serve it. Prayer at its core drives us to discover our part in all that's going on around us, how we might be agents of reconciliation in a world at odds with itself, how we might be partners in healing broken relationships, personal and global ones.
And though it might be anecdotal, many of us can point to a time in our lives and say, God was a part of that. God's hand was at work there on that day of that year. So prayer is an amazing, extraordinary, empowering thing. And this is true of every prayer, from those born of tears, of joy and sorrow, to the ones that we recite as rote, like the Lord's Prayer. I mentioned the Lord's Prayer in passing at the beginning because that's how we often treat it. A passing thing, maybe even something that we wish would pass. Yet, even these simple words hold power to calm and inspire, to enliven us. So let us continue to embrace our prayer lives, not that we might navel gaze, but that we might be inspired to be agents of change and love in a world much in need of both. And though we sang the Lord's Prayer earlier on in the service and heard that truncated version when Craig read it from the Gospel reading, I want to invite you into a time of some reflective prayer. I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes and feel the words of the prayer that Christ taught us wash over you. Just listen. Hear them anew. And allow them to live not in your minds as memorized collection of words, but in your heart, a part of you, and how you move through this world. Our Father who art in heaven, you, O God, are so beyond comprehension that the heavens themselves can't capture your glory. And yet, we know you. So intimately we know you. Like a friend. Like a lover. Like a partner. Like a parent. We know you. Hallowed be thy name. In whispers we speak the names that we know you by. Gentle Shepherd, Creator, Christ, Eternal Host, Holy Spirit. We call on you by name. We seek your holy presence. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In all things we seek your kingdom. In Christ we experience the closeness of that place of peace and love, a world of unity in communion with you. Move in us. Move through us, inspire us to be kingdom builders, to live into your will, to serve our brothers and sisters of this world. On earth as it is in heaven. At creation, you sought a partner, and out of your own yearning, life was born in your image. Guide us to better reflect that image of a compassionate Creator. Remind us that as broken as the world can seem, we are a people, a creation, born of love, and that it is to that love that we are called to return. Give us this day our daily bread. Feed your children. For those starving around the world, we pray, and in that prayer, we are convicted, because for many of us, daily bread is a comfortable assumption. Shake us up and inspire us to give of ourselves radically, that all might share in the abundance of your world. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Even before we ask for your forgiveness, you wait for us with open arms. Despite our brokenness, you love us into wholeness. Give us eyes to see, that we might see others as you see us, as you know us. Give us a heart that truly forgives eternally and unconditionally, offering to others even a fraction of the eternal grace that you offer to us. Hardest of all, help us to forgive those who we know care little for the hurt that they've caused against us or against your world. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's easy for us to care for ourselves, to gravitate towards serving our individual needs before and sometimes at the expense of those with whom we share this world. Walk with us. Inspire us to follow not a new way, but a way set forth by our brother Christ, to be more than willing servants, but eager ones. Save us also from the darkness imposed by others, those whose hearts are filled with anger, actions driven by fear, hate, or perhaps worse, indifference. We pray especially for those places in this world racked with terror. For Germany, we pray. For Turkey, we pray. For Iraq, we pray. For all countries where families are destroyed, where your children are lost in an instant, we pray. And in those moments where we fall short, when we succumb to or even welcome the darkness, lift us into the light of your presence. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Because creation and all that lives and moves within it are yours, and we are but stewards and co-creators. Put in our minds your will and in our hearts your vision of a world turned upside down, where you are glorified in every act of loving care. In all our prayers, we seek greater unity with you and with this world. Guide us, we pray. Strengthen us, we pray. Embrace us, we pray. Amen. And now, as we seek to be people of that kingdom world, let us turn to Voices United, the Red Book, to number 356, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God, number 356.